Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery. I'm your host, Eric Hattershay, and today's episode is going to be on how to lay out your homepage.
Hey, my name is Eric Hattershay, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters.
All right, so last week's episode, I shouldn't even say last week's actually, sorry, it's a series this week. Usually I do a podcast every week, but in this case, we're looking at doing a mini series, so a few within this week. So I should say last episode, we were discussing how to actually lay out your About Us page on your website, and got a decent amount of traction around that, got some questions around that and comments around that. And within that, I decided let's talk about a few other pages that we can create on the website and what a good layout can look like. It's not obviously the only way, but it's the way that we've laid out our pages, and we get pretty good traction and really good conversion, which is really what in my opinion, the point is of a website, is you want to get people to get on there and actually book with you. So I'll share with you what we're doing. A lot of that has come from split testing. And if you're not familiar with that term, it's just testing two different versions of the same page with one slight difference. And then the one that is converting better is the one that you keep as your control. And then you're always trying to test against it, and you're testing different things and adding different things and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. So I'm about to share with you really probably at least 5 years, if not more, of testing, figuring out what works on web pages for ourselves, and also learning, in this case, learning from a lot of other small business owners. I don't know, I'm sure I've mentioned this previous podcast, but if you are new to this podcast, yes, I am part owner of a small resort, and I am also co-founder of a motorcycle tour company, but for the last 5 years or so, my main income has actually been marketing consulting, and I've ran a fairly decent consulting company. I personally have consulted with somewhere between 200 and 300 businesses for a year or more. So I was able to see what was working as far as what we were implementing, and the business that I ran in partnership with, we averaged by the time COVID was hitting, we were averaging around 600 clients a year. COVID took a big toll on things, but yeah, we've worked with a number of businesses, and we compiled all that data. So this isn't coming from nowhere. I'm going to share with you what we've learned just by using different styles and different methods for homepages. And that very much has come down to what I use for my own businesses within tourism. And I'm going to share that with you as far as what that looks like on a homepage that converts. So I'll do that this episode. We're about to jump into that. And then you'll see there's a couple of core components here that play into this being something that works really, really well for you. And I'll share that in the third part of this mini series this week, which is going to be around opt-ins and how to create one within a tourism space, and then what makes a good opt-in and what makes a terrible opt-in, and why would you create one, and why it works, and what you need to do in order to get it to work for you to convert. But we wouldn't have been able to pull off some of the big feats that we're pulling off, like booking out, for instance, this year, booking out 90% of our resort in January before COVID even hit. And we wouldn't have been able to do that without the power of opt-in. So I'm going to share that in the third part of this mini series, which is really just revolving around your website and what's a good website structure look like. So you're probably like, dude, get to the meat, like stop droning on. I just wanted to give you a little bit of context that what I'm about to share with you has taken me years to figure out, and it has taken literally, overall, we've probably invested millions into this, but bare minimum, hundreds of thousands, testing just different versions, different things on home pages to bring this info to you. And so there's a lot of pain in it to get to this point, and I'm giving it to you. So I just want you to value this information for yourself. And more importantly, the reason I want you to value it is because I want you to actually do something with it. I want you to implement it and watch it work for yourself, because that's why I'm creating this podcast in the first place. So now you're really like, all right, so are you going to tell us what's up or what? So here we go, guys. All right, your homepage. Usually I do this with a visual. Obviously, this is a podcast, so that's going to be a little bit challenging, but I'm going to try and make this work through audio. So when it comes to your homepage, there's a few things that are obvious, but should definitely be there. One is in the top, usually left-hand corner, you're going to have the name of your business and your logo. Also, doesn't hurt to have your tagline in there. Tagline, really, I could do a whole separate episode on taglines. But if you're going to create a tagline for your business, which is a good idea, it's a good idea to have a tagline. Between the name of your business and your tagline, there are three things that you need to be able to project to the customer. And that is, you need to be very clear about what you do. So, what is your business? You need to be very clear about who you serve, because you really shouldn't serve everyone. I don't think. I think you should find your niche, especially if you're in small business. You'll do better overall. And the third thing you want is you want to share the benefit that a person's going to get when they come and stay with you. So between the name of your business and your tagline altogether, you should be able to, essentially, that's marketing. You should be able to communicate all three of those things. And I would love to give you guys a ton of examples, but unfortunately, this episode's not about taglines. I might have to do a whole separate one on that. If you ask for that, I'll do it. But in the meantime, name and logo up in the typically the left-hand corner. On the right side, top right side of your homepage, just make sure you've got your contact info up there. Make sure you've got a phone number and an email that people can get in touch with you, so that it's clear right off the bat. If somebody wants to phone you, have the phone number there, that you don't want them to be searching for it. From there, typically you're going to have your site index, which is just your different page tabs. And then in big, big, bold letters, the first thing that the customer, or I guess the guest in this case, should see is, what is it that you do and what is the benefit to the customer? So, I guess to give you a little bit of context on that one, I believe, now I'm actually going off the top of my head, so I should know this, but I think ours has something along the lines to do on the cozy one, at least, like on the resort one, it has something along the lines to do with creating. I think the benefit to the customer is like experience a unique family vacation you won't find anywhere else and create memories that you'll never forget, or something like that. I should know. I should absolutely know because I created it. But off the top of my head, don't quote me on that. But the important part is clarify like what you do and what's the benefit to the customer. From there, you want to have a call to action button. And this is something that I often don't see on a lot of websites, is someone wants to get in touch with you. Yeah, you've got your phone number and your email in the top right-hand corner. Make sure that you have a button that takes them to a contact form. Or however you get in contact with them, but most likely a contact form. Make sure that you have a call to action button right on the homepage. And we want it to be visible as soon as they pop up the page. So it's right there. They don't have to scroll down for that first call to action button that takes them to a contact form. And then below that, this is something I almost never see on a tourism website, is having an opt-in box or bar there. And I like to have an opt-in box or bar that it stays on the site. I really do not like pop-ups. I think most of us can agree that pop-ups are annoying. And often what happens with pop-ups, and when we tested pop-ups, what we found was that people would click off them before they even read them. So what we like to do is have something that's either embedded in the site or a box that hangs out on the side that is not intrusive to the guest or potential guest scrolling through, and then all of a sudden a pop-up comes up. Well, of course, the natural inclination is just going to be to exit out because they were busy already reading something and we put something in their face. It's annoying. They're going to swat it away. So in my opinion, no pop-ups. There are a few exceptions to that rule, but I'm not going to get into it right now. But as a general consensus, you want to embed in the site. That opt-in, we'll talk about next week, but that opt-in, I would say in most cases, don't make it like subscribe to our newsletter. That's the most common thing that we see, and it's the most ineffective opt-in. It's a lazy opt-in. It doesn't really tell the potential guest what they're going to get if they actually subscribe to that. And nobody, if they've just found you, nobody is that loyal when they've just found you brand new that they want to hear everything about you. You haven't even formed a relationship yet. It's like somebody walking up to you on the street. It's a stranger walking up to you and saying, hey, do you want me to give you constant updates on my life? You'd be like, no, that's weird. You got to make friends with them first. You got to establish a relationship first before they would even consider some kind of newsletter. And even in this case, in my opinion, it's a really lazy form of opt-in to put up, and yet it's the most amount of work to deliver on the back end. You probably don't want to write a newsletter anyway. So we'll talk about opt-ins next week. Specifically, what can you put in there that's easy? You can automate it. You leave it. You don't think about it, and it will make you money. So I'll show you what's working for us, and it is absolutely working, and it's doing those things. So everything I just discussed now, I want to be clear about this. Everything I just discussed now, we put what we call above the fold. Above the fold is an old term from when they used to have newspapers. The most important information they wanted was when you folded that newspaper in half and you could see the front page, the top half was the above the fold. And that's where all the important information is. That's what hooks the person and wants them to actually read more. So everything I just talked about is considered to be above the fold. And because we're talking about this in website terms, that means before they actually have to scroll down to see more. So when they scroll down to see more, here's what the rest of the page, typically, in my opinion, in a good website, this is what the rest of the page will hold. And there's many different structures to this, and by no means is this the only way, but it's the way that we're doing it, and it's working well for us. So from there, the next thing that you can have, and a lot of people don't have this, but if you do, it's putting third-party credibility. So as you scroll down, the next thing you might see is articles we've been featured in, or products that we, or I guess not products we endorse, that's not that's not true in this case, but brands that we partner with, or businesses that we partner with, whatever it is. So if you're partnering with large hotel chains, it could say, you know, we partner with Marriott and Hyatt and whatever. Just, I'm making stuff up now, Holiday Inn. Or you could say as featured in, if you've been featured in the media, as featured in different media sources. Now you can even put some of the influencers, blogs or podcasts or whatever on there. Next from there, we would put, often I like to see this, is putting your purpose statement. Why do you do what you do? A lot of people are interested in that. That's part of what we talked about last week with the About Us page. People want to know who they're working with, and they want to know that you care about something more than just the bottom line, that there's something that drives you, because they'll see that peppered throughout the business. So having your purpose statement there, why do you do what you do? And that can be whatever it is. It can be you want to provide amazing experiences to bring smiles to people's faces, or whatever it might be. You put your purpose statement there. Also, could do a whole nother podcast just on that. From there, I want to make sure that the next section of your website is answering all the big questions about your business, the experience, your process, and putting that in the next bit. So just more of the details around maybe where you are, what experience do you deliver, what makes you unique, what makes you stand out. You can put a little bit more third-party credibility in there if you want. You could put, hey, we've served this many people, we've done this many tours, we've been awarded however many awards, whatever that might be. You can put a little bit more of a qualifier in there, but also just answering some of the core questions that someone's going to have. A lot of times that's just location and what's the experience going to look like in a little bit more detail. And you don't have to give all the details there. Obviously, if you have a tourist page or your accommodation pages, you can go into deeper detail there, but it's just the blanket statement. Here are some of the big questions you might have in answering those questions. The other thing that I am going to say is really important, and I've heard this from so many other marketers and podcasts, and I don't know why it keeps coming up again and again, but please have high quality photos on your site. It makes you look very unprofessional to have low quality photos on your site. And it's not that difficult to get high res photos. Obviously, in my opinion, yes, you want all of your own photos. If for whatever reason you are struggling to get a lot of your own photos, maybe you're starting up new, maybe you're creating a new site, maybe you can't afford to put high res photos on there. And when I say high res, you guys would be shocked how many photos on our own site are taken on a phone. And I know officially that's not considered high res, but if they're decent quality photos, a phone can take you a long ways nowadays. I think a good DSLR camera is the best, but a phone will take you a long way. If for whatever reason you can't get a ton of photos, my advice to you is go to a site where you can get free photos. And there are a ton of places where you can get free high quality images. I am not the guru on free high quality images. One site that I go to as a resource often is called Unsplash, unsplash.com. And you get free images that are super high res, and you can get them for almost anything you want. You can go in there and search whatever you want. I know for a fact there's a ton of different images in there if you're searching for anything in tourism, because we've used them in the past, not on our site, but we've used them in different promotional pieces, or we've used them to just talk about general tourism summits or seminars or whatever we've been involved with. So there's lots there that you can pick from in all different geographic zones. There's lots. So if you're looking for some high quality res images, go there. Okay, so that's everything so far. As we scroll down the site, the other thing that I want to see that I often don't see on a tourism site is testimonials. For some reason, a lot of us won't put testimonials from our TripAdvisor or Google or Facebook or whatever, or Trivago, or there's a million different things, obviously, again. We won't put our testimonials there. We do. We'll put our testimonials there. You can buy plugins and programs and whatever to plug into your site, or you can simply screenshot it. That is fine. If you want to screenshot stuff and just embed it in your site, that's fine too. In some ways, it almost lends more credibility, because if you have a screenshot of what somebody wrote you on Facebook, or you have a screenshot of a Google review or whatever, people understand that, you know, you're not taking the time to replicate that. That's just a screenshot. They're almost more authentic. So that's great as well. Put your testimonials in there, put your reviews in there. And if you don't have great reviews, then definitely you need to go back and work on your product. Go listen to the Plus One episode, episode 51. But if you have a great product, then definitely put your reviews in there. From there, then we want to have very clear indication on how to contact us again. So the contact us button, maybe even having a form embedded there. I think you should have a separate contact us page as well, but you can have a contact us mini form at the bottom of this page. For us, I think for the most part, it's usually just a button, a call to action button. And then what we'll have often is just social media links at the bottom. So linking to our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. We'll have that on the bottom. What I like to do is I like to embed some kind of gallery. Sometimes you can do that where it actually connects to your Instagram. If you're somewhat active on Instagram, you don't have to be that active, as long as you have and Instagram and you have decent photos on there. I like to connect the two, because then whatever photos you put on Instagram will pop up and you've got that imagery on the bottom of your site, which is kind of compelling as well. And that can be one of your best galleries. So that is what we would have typically on our homepage. Main things that we're looking to do on this homepage are get this person to contact us. So you can bet that we're going to have the contact us buttons multiple times throughout the page. And then the other thing that we want to have on there absolutely is an opt-in, because if we're having, if we have a great opt-in, which in my definition is going to be a great gift to give to the person that would be a highly qualified individual to come to us, give them a gift. It does, and when I say gift, it's not something that costs you anything. You give them something that they want to have. You'll capture a lot more individuals' contact information, and then you have the ability to follow up with them at a later point in time. And that's really, really important in the big picture, because that will have a dramatic impact on your bookings, on your revenues. So have a contact us button, have your opt-in buttons. Ultimately, you just want that person to get in touch with you. Even if you are full and you don't have capacity or whatever it is, you want to bring that contact information in, because you are building a bigger pool to draw from in times when you need to bring those bookings in. So that's what your goal is on the homepage. Your goal is not to have the prettiest homepage that's out there. Usually it needs to be good looking in order to get conversions, but ultimately you want conversions over aesthetics. And that's why I'm kind of going through the process here with you, because unfortunately most web developers out there are good at web developing. They're good at putting photos on a page. They don't know marketing psychology. They don't know how to actually get a conversion. So follow that process. I hope it works for you, and let me know how it goes. You can always reach us at info@tourismmanagementacademy.com. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next episode. Have a great evening, day, weekend, whatever it is, morning, whenever you're listening to this, and we'll talk to you soon.